Thank you, Aaron, and good evening, everyone. In June, the Sheriff's Office issued a missing persons report regarding 40-year-old Catherine Gilliam, who was reported as an overdue motorist by her family. Family members assumed Gilliam had made it safely home to Big Lagoon from Grants Pass, but no one had heard from her since. The Sheriff's Office considers her disappearance suspicious, and the route of her travel from Highway 199 out of Grants Pass to Highway 101 south to Big Lagoon has been searched by air and by foot, by search and rescue teams as well as volunteers. Gilliam's disappearance is considered out of character, and investigators are treating it as a high-priority case. Gilliam was driving a 2004 charcoal gray Mitsubishi Endeavor with a California license plate number 6UXE841. Gilliam is an adult Native American woman, 5'4", 200 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office received a call from a camp host at Moonstone Beach yesterday evening reporting that a visitor had found an explosive device in the bushes next to the parking lot. The responding deputy, a member of the county bomb squad, reached the scene and secured the device, which was reported as a flashbang grenade, a device used by police and military that produces disorienting noise and a brilliant blinding flash. The device was secured by the deputy and will be destroyed by the county bomb squad. Governor Jerry Brown signed two bills today that will keep state parks open for at least 2 years. The pair of bills provide some $30 million in funding for state parks, money that was made available after it was discovered that the state parks department was sitting on more than $50 million in unused funds. Cuts to the state parks budget had meant that more than 70 parks could have been closed statewide, but those closures have been avoided. The second bill is aimed at greater oversight and management of the State Parks Department, with the formation of a new State Parks Commission to oversee spending. Another bill Governor Brown signed into law today will allow California residents to register to vote up to and including Election Day. The bill, which will not go into effect until 2015, once the state's voter database is approved and working, will allow Californians to vote with provisional ballots on Election Day if they present a properly filled out voter registration form. Under the law, a voter's registration data must match that with the Department of Motor Vehicles or the Social Security Administration, and fraudulent use of the same day registration could mean a fine of up to $25,000 and a year in jail. And Mendocino County deputies responded to a call of a gunshot wound early this morning in Potter Valley. Deputies interviewed the victim, 32-year-old Nicholas Noel, who told deputies that he had been camping about 10 miles up to Shield Ranch Road. He said he went looking for a bear reported in the area and shot himself in the foot with a shotgun. Noel could not point out the exact location of where he was camping, and after binding his wound, he said he got a ride from two men who just happened to be driving by, and who then dropped him off at the location where deputies found him. Noel was taken to the hospital for treatment. You're listening to KINS North Coast News. We'll be right back after this.
Okay, Julian, I think I got all of this stuff working now. Roll music! And let me throw this switch here and put... Oh, wait a minute. What do I do here?
I can't take any more technical... Don't even tell me about it.
All right.
I don't want to hear it.
Why don't you start singing, man?
There's things I can eat and things that I can't.
Jolene Roxbury brings comedy, wit, and creativity to the Saturday lineup, 7 to 8 p.m. on KWSW 980.
College of the Redwoods president Kathy Lehner has a full plate as she takes the reins at the Eureka campus. Accreditation for the school is a top priority, as is the budget. But another issue, labor relations, will take center stage as we enter the summer. When asked about the teacher's strike in Chicago, Lehner spoke to the upcoming labor negotiations with the school's two unions, one for faculty and the other for unclassified personnel.
I had never worked with unions until moving to California about 10 years ago, so I've got limited experience, and I could not imagine the college operating on a day-to-day basis if one of our unions were to go on strike. So I certainly don't envy what the administrators in the Chicago system, and how do you deal with the students and the demands that you have to complete their education and the length of time that we have.
Lehner went on to say,
we do have a director, an interim director right now of HR, and we have determined this year and have talked with both faculty and staff about engaging an outside negotiator to come in who's familiar with what's going on in the state and what other colleges are doing, and to help us brainstorm how we're going to be able to solve some of the issues we've got budgetarily, and how we can move into the future and sustain the institution for the long term.
Those labor negotiations will come closely on the heels of the work being done with the State Accreditation Commission. With the KINS and Southern News, I'm Anthony Mantova.